You're listening to Bison Report Radio, presented by 24/7 Sports.
You guys have done a great job for Bison Nation throughout the years here. Great to be on with you.
Last time you had me on, I told you guys were the best in the business, and I really mean that. Your coverage of Bison basketball is always top-notch, and the players, the coaches, the fans, we all appreciate it.
I mean, I think you and your staff now have done an amazing job with the Bison Report. Again, I think it gives NDSU fans an outlet to go to for good football coverage, elite basketball coverage, and everything recruiting.
You know, I really appreciate you guys, Bison Report, for what you guys do for Bison football.
Here's your host and publisher of Bison Report, Ross Uglow.
What is up, Bison fans, and welcome back to another edition of Bison Report Radio. I am your host and the publisher of Bison Report, Ross Uglowman, joining me for the first time in a while in the beautiful Bison Report studios is Blake the intern. Blake, man, how are you?
Doing pretty well. Back in the crib. Good stuff going on with football and basketball is getting going. It's a fun little overlap time.
Yeah. I guess we'll skip a little bit, but look out for our season preview pod with Coach Richmond. Sat down with David for about a half hour, 32, 33 minutes, and just chopped it all up. I thought it was good. Thought we got some good insights. Thought he was honest. And sometimes not just with him, but like with any coach, you just don't always get like the exact straight answer that you're looking for. I thought we did, and I thought things went well. So keep your eyes out for that. We'll probably be doing that as a video, and then dropping that probably dropping the podcast a little bit later as well. So that'll be the plan. Maybe drop a video, and then maybe a day or two later drop the audio, and should be good. I liked our conversation with Dave.
Yeah, it was really good. Like you said, he was honest, and that's kind of the thing people say about coaches that...
Coaches in general, not just him.
Yes, and he is coach speak, is what a lot of people think, but he is like very trans... That's the word he uses a lot, is transparent.
Yeah.
And it was really interesting to hear about... God, it seems like he's just excited about this team. He really does.
Into the news. I guess this was maybe known, maybe not known. I would assume it's a broken collarbone, but Nathaniel Staling out for the season because they kept referring to it as a shoulder. So if you're going to refer to it as a shoulder and it's out for the season, it's either a torn labrum or a broken collarbone. Generally.
Yeah, he didn't mention that, though, on Tuesday. He went through an injury report of like 20 dudes.
And right. And then I think it was Kolpak and Izzo were just like, yeah, Staling's out for the year.
Okay.
Well, yeah, exactly. All right. Generally, that would be something that would have been reported by somebody that knew. I mean, I don't think Tim ever came out and said it, but they're just like, yeah, he's out for the year. All right. Wiz, potentially not out for the year. In fact, really sort of seems like he's not out for the year. And, you know, I think NDSU, I've thought the whole season NDSU is the best team in the country, but you add Wiz to this, I don't care if you play him at linebacker or safety. I think there becomes kind of like a gap then because he's a first-team All-American. You add a first-team All-American to this team. Goodness. NDSU, speaking of which, is the number one overall seed in the FCS rankings that just dropped. Montana State, number two. And then South Dakota State, three. Montana State has an FBS win. I do believe it was over the worst team in the FBS, I think.
New Mexico, yeah.
Yep. And then, you know, strength of schedule is just nothing. I mean, to me, frankly, there were too many big sky teams in the top 10. But at the same time, it's like, well, Sam Houston's gone. Kennesaw's gone. James Madison is gone. So it's like maybe this new era, maybe there's a huge gap still between the top of the Valley and the Big Sky, but maybe in this new era, maybe four of the best teams in the country are in the Big Sky. I don't know.
Yeah, none of those three, the big three, Cal Davis, UC Davis, and the two Montanas, they have not played each other yet.
Yeah, and Montana has a UND loss on their resume, which is not great, as we've seen.
No, that's not great, especially considering what happened on Saturday night.
Yeah, yep. In case you're wondering, too, just, you know, we talked about it a little bit, and look, NDSU should beat MSUM on their home floor, for sure. But in case you had questions about, like, how good this Morehead team is, Minnesota State Morehead is the number four team nationally in D2 basketball, period. Number four. So, again, I'm not saying that that game should have been that close. I'm not making excuses for anyone. But what I'm telling you is that is a Final Four contender at the Division II level. And you see how many guys from D2, you know, the top guys in D2 that bump up to D1, it usually goes pretty well. You know, and the level of hoopers, like that, I'll tell you right now, that Beninga, the point guard for, I mean, who's the first team All Summit League point guard?
I don't know, because they all
left. Right, because everybody left. I mean, to me, he could start for any team in the Summit League.
Yeah.
MSUM's point guard. I can't think of, without Mayo being in the league, I guess whatever your opinion is of Damari, did everybody loves UMKC because they're the ones that didn't lose a bunch of guys to the portal? I guess, is Kendall Blue a point guard?
No, not particularly.
Would you call Jamar Brown a point guard?
No.
So I guess your first team, maybe, I guess I'd probably rather have Isaac McBride.
And I think he is a player of the year.
Right.
Preseason.
Right. Yeah. Goodness gracious. He was a dude. But I mean, he was super, super fun to watch. Super fun to watch.
Yeah, they're going to make some noise again.
Oscar Clough, second team. Okay. I mean, maybe that kid's going to be really good, but I would put
some on Jackson Money to,
yeah,
be on par with that.
Goodness. Okay. Oh, got into the wrong podcast script. Goodness gracious. Marty being up for the Jerry Rice Award is fun. I don't know how fun the coach thinks it is. I don't think the coach, it seems a little old school in that, like, we shouldn't even say freshmen's names. Or he's like, I got my thoughts on young guys getting recognized. Like, all right. I get it, though. I get it. Hoops, like I said, watch for our sit down with Richmond. And then they'll play, before you guys hear from us again, because of the nature of this UNI game, Hoops will play their first official game. It won't be a D1 game, but it will count in the overall record. Just the way it is. We did ask Coach about scheduling, and so I think you'll find his answer interesting. At least my opinion is it was an interesting answer. What has happened to you and I?
I grew up watching, like, it was not South Dakota State as the one. The
Paul Sick said it.
Yeah, he absolutely said it. It's like we had to get over Northern Iowa before we could, you know, and then we got to where we were, blah, 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 whatever, whatever. But, like, I remember the 2013, like, the arguably one of the best NDSU teams in the championship run come down to the last minute. They were down 13, had to come back and win. 2015, all-time classic in the Dome and in the playoffs.
Yeah.
Snapped the 30-some game winning streak, at the Unidome. Just several, and they've dipped a little bit since then, but just some absolute class. That's what I remember, and it's just so, like, hard to wrap my head around it. What's going on down there?
Because I think, I personally think that people probably now just assume that, like, NDSU and SDSU showed up in the Valley and were just the class, or that, like, NDSU and SDSU's rivalry, like, defined the conference. It didn't. NDSU chased UNI and beat South Dakota State because of that. Like, NDSU chased the physicality and the talent and the speed of UNI and became a better program than South Dakota State because of that. And then South Dakota State caught NDSU, and now NDSU is trying to gap SDSU again. I mean, that's really how it happened. It's, NDSU looked at Northern Iowa and said, this is the standard of the conference, and went and chased them.
Look who two of their defensive coaches were that became the head coach at North Dakota State. Chris Kleiman and Matt Entz were D coordinators, or at least defensive coaches.
Yeah.
Under Mark Farley.
Yeah. Farley's contract. So, because we talked about it, right? I think this is 24th season, or I've talked about it. Maybe I don't know that we've necessarily discussed it. I personally would certainly move on from Mark Farley at this point. It just doesn't seem like it's going in the right direction. You know, I mentioned his record. I can't remember. Let me look it up, because I tweeted it.
I believe he's 23-26 in the last 3 or 4 years.
Yeah, none of it's great. I was just trying to figure out the exact stat that I tweeted, because I was sort of comparing, you know, kind of like expectations, right? Where something good enough somewhere else is not good enough. So Mark Farley is 83-67 since 2011. So 8-6 in a 4-team game schedule. So in a 12-game schedule, you're 7-5.
Right.
Ish. I mean, that isn't gonna work. Like, seriously, if you went 7-5 2 years in a row at NDSU, you'd be done. Period.
100%.
And look, I get that, you know, standards are different at different places, but you've been a coach at a place for 24 years. You set the standard. It's your program. Right?
Yeah. I don't know if are we getting to the Belichick point in the era here, right? Where he's been there the same amount of time, and it's just like, it's not up to, it kind of fell apart right around the same time, like right around COVID.
Yeah.
They both kind of went woo, off the tracks a little bit.
A little bit. So his contract runs through 2026, which is a problem. They reduced his pay to kind of fit under new. And then the funny thing is, you still, in my opinion, especially with some of their very like real success in the NCAA tournament, in my opinion, you view UNI as like this still an aspirational program for men's basketball. Like, NDSU would love to get to where UNI has been as a basketball program. And yet you're running a situation where, like, you can't even fund football to any degree that matters, right? Your head coach of 24 years is having to take a pay cut, and now you probably can't move on from that head coach, because if you're asking your head coach to take a pay cut, you certainly can't pay two coaches at once. You can't buy him out of his contract.
No.
Because if you can't afford to pay him, you certainly can't afford to pay him and pay somebody else.
Yeah, this is not the SEC.
Right, so it's rough out there in these streets. They're 2-6, but honestly, it's worse than that. They beat Valpo at home, and they barely beat St. Thomas. You're like, oh, St. Thomas, that's a Summit League school, playing Pioneer football, but man, they've been really good. Dude, St. Thomas is 5-3. St. Thomas is a 5-3 non-scholarship Division I team that got cracked by the University of Sioux Falls. That's the level that St. Thomas is on. And they only lost to UNI 17-10. UNI does not have a Valley win. It is crazy. And I understand why Polisek started basically like all of these conversations by talking about how much he respects Farley, how much he respects the rivalry, and how much really UNI football has meant to NDSU football. Because there is nothing on tape or in the box score or on even just reading through their schedule that would tell you that this UNI team is not coming to Fargo to just get killed.
I can't imagine it going. I mean, you just look at their point totals, and this is just surface level. 41, 42, 31, 49 points to most state, almost 600 yards of offense at home. They have 5 sacks on the year.
Yeah.
And if you look, so there's 11 teams in the Valley. Number 10 has 13. NDSU's O-line's been pretty good.
Yeah.
Cam Miller is going to be on his Comfort King mattress throwing
yes.
the ball.
Yep. They don't have a Valley win. The backs are good. Ty Edwards is fun to watch. The offensive line tradition, I think, looks really over. You know, you put Spencer Brown into the league. You put Trevor Penning into the league. Even his brother, Jared, maybe was getting some name recognition stuff as far as, like, postseason awards maybe last year, preseason awards this year. It's not good. I don't enjoy watching their offensive line, and you can tell in the production that offense doesn't have. I mean, they're not particularly good up front on either side of the ball. We mentioned, or I wrote, no wide receiver with more than 300 yards, and we're 8 games into the season. That would mean you don't, my California math would tell you, you basically, I don't even know if you have a receiver on pace for 500 yards. That's not UNI football. I mean, you think about like Darius Fountain and other just dudes that they've had at that wide receiver position. That's crazy. And how kind of wide open they've been at that spot in the past as far as, you know, success moving the football. I mean, like I said, Darius Fountain, David Johnson, the running back, like they've had explosive offenses even when their defense hasn't quite been up to snuff. That explosive offense does not exist this year. It simply doesn't. Like Tim said, they have decent productive backs, but what he won't say and what I will is that they've got decent productive backs behind a mediocre offensive line and without much threat of the pass around it.
And a lot to be desired in the past. Like, I mean, just like you were saying, Sam, is it Schnee, whatever that was there the last few years?
Yeah.
Who graduated. Like, he was a dude. Theo Day could sling it around a little bit. They're not there.
Theo Day was awesome, man.
Yeah. But now you've got, I think they're going with, is it Shekelman?
Shekelman, yep.
And Aiden Dunn, who I think is a cousin of Eli Dunn, if you remember that from about 5 to 8 years ago. Played against the Bison a few times.
Yep.
But just not at a level of production that's getting it done at 16 points a game.
No, and I like the QB just fine, but to me, he seems like a player that just doesn't have help. Like, there's not a lot of yak. There's not a lot of his guys going up and making plays for him. There's not a lot of protection. Like, to me, the QB is not the problem here as much as normally you would point to the QB and say, why aren't we scoring? Why aren't we better? Get a new QB. We're a quarterback away. Northern Iowa is not a quarterback away on offense. They aren't. It's a bigger problem than that. Theo Day to me was, I mean, a legitimate like fringe NFL prospect with his arm. And I don't know if, I mean, I know he's not on a roster now. I don't know how close that got, but like he could spin it, man. He was fun. He was not the athlete that most Valley QBs can do both. NDSU has had a guy who can do both forever. Seems like they're going to continue to do that. Cole Payton can run. Nathan Hayes can run, right? Like Romfo at UND can run. Gronowski can run. Obviously, when Gronowski's done, Chase Mason can run. Very few pocket passers, right? But UNI kind of has done that because Will McElvain, before Theo Day, they were both stand in the pocket and sling that thang QBs. They weren't running option read. They weren't running plus one run game. Like they were just, and Theo Day was the same way. Like, I don't know if Theo Day had rushing yards with the sacks that he took. I don't know if he had rushing yards.
I don't think so.
It just isn't there. Defensively, it's not much better. They've got no juice up front, as you mentioned. If Cam wants to sit back there and just pat the ball, he's going to be able to. There's nothing that UNI has shown that they are able to do to get after the passer. Whatever wrinkles NDSU wants to throw in the passing game, they're certainly going to be able to do that. MVFC play. Here are your totals for the Panthers given up. And what a just departure from what UNI football has been about. even recently, when you talk about like who's the Omar Brown that they lost to Nebraska, and he's now in the league. Benny Sapp now in the league. Like, they've still had like dudes, good football players. And who's that deep? And then there's a defensive end either that wore like a single digit number, and he got a cup of coffee in the league. I'll figure it out, I'm sure. But they have given up 41, 42, 31, and 49 points. It ain't great. It's not sustainable. It isn't good. Yikes, man.
Yeah, it is. I'll say this. It is against the top of the valley.
I don't care.
Right. It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
If you're going to give up that, that's non-competitive.
And I've heard the song and dance, right? Because people have said it's the toughest schedule in FCS. I think they played two FBS games.
They did.
And then, you know, you're at NDSU. I think they hosted SDSU.
Yep.
But then at UND, which Grand Forks sucks. I mean, it does. Like, NDSU got cracked there last year. I'm not going to pretend it's not a tough place to play. Or a terrible place to be.
Yeah.
It's both things. But like it that is tough, but they're being non-competitive. I don't care how tough your schedule is. You're 2-6 without a Valley win.
Yeah, they're not even close either. I mean, the last game looks close, but
they don't have a scholarship Division I win. Now that I think about it, their wins are Valparaiso and St. Thomas.
Yeah.
They have not beat a kid on scholarship. That's crazy, dude.
And they probably won't because they play Illinois State until they get Youngstown and the Sycamores to end the year. That's the only shot.
They're going to beat Indiana State because Youngstown State just looked mighty frisky. Go Penguins. How about that, huh? fighting Hawks going down in the ice castle.
God, I was listening to that. I forgot when they put out that penguin noise every single first down. It's like, what on earth are we doing?
I miss playing Youngstown State.
Next year.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, Blake, what are we looking for in a game like this? What do you want to see? Because I don't think the final score is in any kind of jeopardy. So what do you want to see?
Well, the easy answer for me would be to, you know, like last week, get guys on the field. But we were mentioning off air a little bit about, you know, Donovan Woolens hit the 4-game deal. And it like you had told me, I don't think they really, Polisic doesn't care about that. Yeah. But they still got a bunch of other guys who maybe have already burned their red shirt, whatever. Nathan Hayes, be great to see him back out in the field for another goal.
Yep.
Another bout at just another live defense. Other backs, other receivers, of course, but O-line, just that whole deal, honestly.
More opportunity, too. For me, the big one is without Sam Young. Whichever one of Crumbie and Givens you're trying to teach the strong safety position, more reps there.
Yeah.
So they can play together. Obviously, things change quite a bit if you put Wisniewski into the defense somewhere. That's a big deal. But I don't know. I think they want to figure out a way to play those guys together. And they have some faith in Ryan Jones, which I get, but there have just been some explosives given up with some Ryan Jones missed tackles that I think are kind of burned into people's brains a little bit, where they see Givens, not that he hasn't missed a tackle, but they see Givens, they see Crumbie. They're like, well, right now those are our two best safeties. If Wisniewski's not available, Givens and Crumbie are our two best safeties. Right now they're both frees. How do we get reps for one of them at the other position so they can play together? Well, in a game where the outcome is kind of already decided. More Nathan Hayes. Like, I want to see more Nathan Hayes. I personally, I'll just say this right now, I probably get in trouble for this, I'd like to see an open competition in the spring.
Yeah, and that door kind of shut. I'm like, because you wrote about it, and 1 year of this, 1 year of that, and then you're in 2027.
With
whoever, right?
Yeah, shoulder shrug.
And when's the last successful 1-year starter? Not to say that these two couldn't be, but like,
right.
Okay, Trey, yes, but that was
a different thing. I'm sure NDSU planned on Trey starting 4 years.
Yeah, he would. This would be Cam's second year starter if they had go their way.
Right. Yeah, I tell you what, man. I would not have shut the door on an open competition. And maybe, like I said, maybe it has something to do with, I know there were NIL opportunities, transfer portal opportunities presented to Cole Payton last offseason. I know that. There were transfer portal opportunities, NIL opportunities presented to Cam Miller last offseason. So I get that you kind of had to step up to the plate, not NDSU, but like the collective and just the coaching staff probably, you know, things were probably said, things were probably done to get Cole Payton back on campus. And then it's like, well, how much of that are you betraying if you do make it a true open competition in the spring? I don't know, man.
But you also got to put the guy that you think is best on the field, though, at the same time.
Yeah.
Is that still a factor?
And this is to say that Cole Payton, this isn't to say that Cole Payton wouldn't win that job. I would not have said Cole Payton is the starter in February. I would have said we were looking forward to a great quarterback competition when Cam is done.
Yeah.
Or said nothing, which was also an option. Or just said nothing.
Yeah, Nathan, he was impressive. I thought there was a little stretch where he was maybe a little teetering a little bit, but that first drive, I think Paul Sig mentioned, like, he had to be a little anxious or something. He looked fine to me.
You got to remember, too, I mean, you get into that part of the game, not all the starters are playing on the offensive line. You're not playing with necessarily the backs that you would normally play with. You're not playing with the receivers, but I will say a lot of his reps, though, were with, because you can only travel so many guys on a road game. You can only travel so many guys. So you're not, your eighth, ninth, and tenth wide receivers aren't even in uniform. You know what I'm saying? So, like, you did get reps with guys that matter. Obviously, his first touchdown pass was to Bryce Lance. So, you know, he played with guys that are big time on the team. But just in general, man, I'm very interested to see more Nathan Hayes. All right, prediction time. Go ahead.
Yeah, so just kind of building off of that a little bit, they played, I think, 66 guys. I would imagine now that it's a home game, right, and you got more guys there, that would be even more.
Yeah, potentially.
Potentially. Hopefully they get a chance to be on the field, and I think with the score I'm going to give at 48-10, that could very well happen.
Yeah, I've got 56-10. I think, you know, you look at these numbers, 41-32, like NDSU with their offensive ability could maybe name their score. I don't know that Tim Polasek wants to run up the score on Mark Farley. I mean, 56-10 might sound like running up the score, but I think you could see a similar formula to the last game where NDSU has like 35, 38, 42 at half, and then don't just go absolute murder ball in the second half. Because that was, you mean, what was the score at the halftime of the Murray game? Did they have 42?
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, they weren't going to score 84. What I mean? That's what. So I wonder if this isn't a game where, not necessarily foot off the throttle, but just let some younger guys play eventually. And I don't, like I said, I don't know that there's a huge desire for Tim to run up the score in this one. All right. Thank you, Blake, for making the time. You were up early this morning. We appreciate that. Thank all you wonderful people for listening. Have a wonderful weekend and go Bison.